Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Trump has been arrested. This afternoon, he's been arrested while I was on Richard Spencer's show on his Substack call. Trump arrested for his NARA document. Ridiculous prosecution for something that is so minor and so elevated in this case. They're trying to elevate it as a matter of national security, absolute persecution. And Tucker Carlson just came out a few minutes ago with a third episode of his Twitter show talking about this. Tucker Carlson makes the case that basically Trump is being punished for not being a Washington insider. Trump is being punished for being anti-war. It is the one thing that you cannot be in Washington, D.C., an anti-war person, anti-Ukraine war, and it's the one thing for which he's being punished. And yes, it is my view that Tucker is absolutely right, and it is a detoured way of attacking democracy. Ultimately, it is our democratic rights that are under attack when certain opinions are not even given the democratic chance. You don't get to vote for an anti-war candidate because they've all been intimidated away from politics through this kind of harassment that Trump is undergoing right now. Very sad. End of the line, Joel says, but no retribution for people who push the Russian collusion hoax. Absolutely. Hoaxes that have been making billions for people, whether it's the attacks on Trump, the media falsehoods against him, the false allegations by females in 2016, the Russia collusion hoax, the hoaxes around all the wars that America has been involved in the Middle East, which were called out by Trump in the campaign, you know, these lies about weapons of mass destruction. Never has someone been punished for this. Never has someone been punished for even Hillary Clinton and bleaching her email server. You know, at minimum, she has done as worse as Trump has done. But on top of it, she hid it. She made them disappear. She made them disappear so that there would be no trace of them. At least Trump returned the documents. You know, if you want to go document for document, what Hillary Clinton did with the bleach bit is equivalent at least to burning, if Trump had burned the whole boxes of his material. Adam says, Thing says, for fuck's sake, the DNC Act itself, they literally hired hackers to test their security and then blamed Russia for 3 years. Absolutely, absolutely. it's so revealing that Trump is the only one getting sued in all this bunch. And we're not even entering here the Hunter Biden revelations, the big guy being paid, the information that seems to be emerging that there are audio recordings of this big guy bribery, this bribery of Joe Biden with in relation to the Ukraine prosecution stuff. There's plenty here, plenty for the FBI to spend the 20 next years researching and prosecuting. Etoile says, thanks for being here every day, JF. This channel feels like home. Well, I'm super happy that you say this. That is the goal. That is why I'm here every day. Not so much that a coverage of me is needed on the public space every day, but I like to gather ourselves as a family every day. That's how I like it. That is just part of my routine, and I hope it's part of yours. We're getting superb performance by the clips on Twitter, by the way. So perhaps the family will grow as I explore the technique of generating those clips, making them perhaps even shorter, more straight to the point. I think we're going to attract a different audience from the Twitter side also. So get ready to get new friends. Hopefully there's never 2,000 people here live because when there's 2,000 people, people will remember my days of my golden age. When there's 2,000 people here, There's a big percentage of them that are pretty stupid. So hopefully we stay a small crowd. End of the line, Joel says, Trump should have kept the documents safe in his car garage like sleepy, creepy Joe Biden. Yeah, he's been set up also in the whole interaction. I think that they tried building a case that he was actively refusing to send back the documents. But once we will get his defense, that's where we will get more information. Because right now, we just have the side of the prosecution. But imagine Trump comes in and says, oh, well, did you know that I've been saying at that time, come and get them, come and get them, come and get them. And so sometimes the interpretations of the prosecution can be totally exaggerated, and just the defense would make these facts much less incriminating. Now, it will always remain that there are people who claim basically that Trump was dog whistling in some form, that perhaps we should get rid of the documents. And this will resist up to the jury. And then it's a question of the jury. Now, interestingly, this case is being deployed in South Florida. So in South Florida, it's not Washington, D.C. And I can't wait to see if we're going to get a bunch of Trump supporters getting into the jury system and saying, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm all good. I'm objective. And what this will lead to, because there may be a bunch of agents. There are enough Trump supporters in America that you will end up having one, two, three, or five of them, at least statistically, on a jury. Blanket says, Jeff, did you link your Odyssey channel on Elon's platform? Also, has there ever been 2,000 viewers all at once? Back in the YouTube days, the day I left Warski Live, I remember having 3,000 viewers live on my stream that I did after. Now, it wasn't a thing that you would see every day, but certainly 1,000 viewers live was a relatively regular occurrence. It happened, and there was certainly 500 viewers live. In a certain period, it was very regular every day, basically, to get 500 viewers live. So that's the range in which I've performed when I was on YouTube and when we were getting these big guests. I turned a different way, and I kind of like my current life. I like getting the chance to say all my views rather than be on the investigation, be on the interrogation side. Hosting a show, you know, is very cognitively demanding. end of the line, Joel says, wait, JF is still streaming? I thought he left the internet 3 years ago. Yes, you know, when you hear my voice, that is streaming. You thought you were watching an offline video? What the fuck, bro? Ariel Suarez says, so it has happened at last, not guilty? Well, he has pled not guilty. That doesn't mean he's not guilty. But today he has entered a no guilty plea. That is the current situation with Trump. Mark Andreessen was saying, ask me anything about AI, blah, blah, blah. Why AI will save the world? And Elon Musk asked, how many years do we have before AI kills us all? And I answered to Elon Musk, next decades, AI starts playing with our genes. Next centuries, we are farmed to become more dependent to it. Next millennia, we are stripped of our humanity and reduced to sterile workers. And within 100,000 years, we could be completely gone. Don't let it happen, Elon Musk. And there are some clever people out there who think they're clever, and they're like, oh, it's going to go so much faster, JF. And it could go faster, but, you know, my job is to make accurate prediction. You're a loser on Twitter with an anime picture on your profile. So shut the fuck up and let the professionals do it, you know, because you don't know that there will be obstacles along the path of AI domination. And, you know, AI cannot just kill us instantly tomorrow morning. The AI is going to have to cultivate some dependence on the side of humanity. The AI is going to have obstacles. There will be resistance. There will be things that the AI finds hard to do. There will be things that it can't do, that it has to wait to happen. The AI will not necessarily kill us within a fraction of a second, like the Skynet kind of crap. AI will have to first make itself needed by human society, and then it will be able to use its power against us. Blanket says, Jeff, so will AI be even scarier than it is in any movie? No, it won't be scary, and that is a big problem. If AI had the face of a robot and you could see it and say, oh, I'm scared, that would be good, actually. The big problem is the AI. You're going to want to go to it. Your descendants are going to go to it and are going to say, please tell me what to do, AI. Please tell me how you want me to modify my children. End of the line, Joel says, the legal cases against Trump do not have to succeed. All they have to do is to suck away his energy during the election season. Yes, but Trump has shown himself to be very resilient to this kind of stuff. So who knows? There may be a point at which they're trying to pile so much on him that it turns against them. I'll talk about this more in depth when we talk about the Trump arraignment. Man, I wish I had the talent of Alex Jones to call for donation. This is an appeal to donations by Alex Jones. This is absolute mastery of the art.
Bet on the one that keeps winning, but the one that's bleeding freaking snot out of its mouth and got blood coming out its ass, because I'm not ever giving up, but I will give out if you don't support us. So belly up or roll over to Biden and the Chi-Coms and stick your ass up in the air so they can screw you in the ass. You want to be fucked in the ass by these people that keep fucking bowing down? You want to fucking win? Get on board right now and give us the goddamn money. Go ahead, Roger. Bet on the one that keeps winning, but the one that's bleeding frickin' snot out of its mouth and got blood coming out its ass, because I'm not ever giving up, but I will give out if you don't support us. So belly up or roll over to Biden and the Chi-Coms and stick your ass up in the air so they can screw you in the ass. You want to be fucked in the ass by these people that keep fucking bowing down? You want to fucking win? Get on board right now and give us the goddamn money. Go ahead, Roger.
The way he says... Go ahead, Roger.
Fucking win. Get on board right now and give us the goddamn money. Go ahead, Roger.
Absolute legend. I love Alex Jones. Excellent news on the side of the Binance prosecution for those who have been following this. The judge has decided that it was not justified to shut down Binance US and give the control of assets to the SEC. So Binance must file a list of businesses expense. The judge allows Binance to continue operating as usual. US assets will not be frozen. The judge also ordered Binance and the SEC to reach an agreement to secure US assets. And so that is a good news, because the way the SEC just comes like Godzilla and destroys everything on its path, it's been annoying. It's been very annoying to see this, how they come. And the problem is that the crypto world relies on efficiency. They don't have all of the red tapes and the lawyers to necessarily fight all of this. And so the crypto world ended up being distracted a lot by over-interventionism in those lawsuits. And here the judge has decided, no, Binance, we don't want to crash Binance. We want to allow Binance to keep going. And so that is excellent news for the stability of this platform and for those who believe in the honesty of Binance. On the side of Elon Musk, social media progresses. We learned that Elon Musk is about to implement micropayments on Twitter for creators' content as an additional option to subscriptions. He says winning approval from Apple for these in-app purchases was why Elon met with Tim Cook months ago. So that is a very exciting development. What would the world look like if we could sell some of our tweets, sell some of our clips for, I don't know, 2 cents? Like, what if people were willing to pay 2 cents for a clip? That could change the business a lot. Micropayments has been something that has been exciting to people back in the days. They have developed all these platforms for micropayments, and honestly, it never took off. It never took off at the height of the promise. There was this feeling about 7-8 years ago that micropayments was the future and that people would be consuming content and like 1 cent for watching this YouTube video and 2 cents to JF for this tweet. Perhaps Elon has a secret recipe, and I admit that Twitter may be the right environment where this kind of commerce can rise. But we'll see. We'll see. For now, it's subscription, and I'm still waiting for my subscription. Elon, my clips are rising on your platform. They're getting popular. Allow me to monetize this. I'll make you rich, Elon. I will make you rich. I will be rooting for the subscription service. I'll get all of my fans to subscribe and get those unique hidden tweets. It's going to be awesome. DK Shadow says, yeah, Apple is kicking Damus, the Norst app, off their app store. Yes, so Damus, apparently, I don't know what Damus is, but it's some app, and they're getting kicked because they made an option that was allowing Zaps. And I don't know exactly what Zaps is, but it seems to be some kind of micropayment platform. They allowed this, and Apple saw this as an attack to their business model. Apple saw this as, well, if people use Zap instead of the Apple Store, we lose our big Apple tax. That really sucks. On the side of Apple, that is absolutely anti-competitive. There should be laws against this, simply. DK Shadow says, Zaps is based on the Bitcoin Lightning Network. Ah, okay. So they are instant Bitcoin transfers on the Lightning Network. Good to know. Good to know. I didn't know about it. But yeah, so very annoying. This behavior of Apple has always been a constant annoyance, and it's continuing. But it seems, based on this reporting, that Elon is headed toward doing a similar micropayment system on Twitter. And is it possible that he has already a deal with Apple that they will not go after them? Because the fact is, Twitter is already dismissive of people who are operating on the app stores, because Twitter is highly encouraging people to go subscribe. If you get the blue check, for example, they will tell you it's $3 less on the web. Why is it $3 less? It's because they don't have to pay then the platform fee to Tim Cook. So if Elon is trying to do something around micropayments, there's going to be an equal amount of conflict with the Apple Store. But if he has already dealt the stuff with Tim Cook, perhaps the conflict will not happen. Blanket says, JF, will monetization also depend on your view count? Because you're doing well when it comes to views. Exactly. I have the impression that I'm being throttled by Elon on the side of monetization. They're thinking, is the world ready for Papa JF? Yes, Elon! The world is ready. The world is ready. You know, don't just read my Wikipedia page. It's been written by Antifa activists. You know, look at me in the eye, Elon. I like you. I subscribe to your Twitter account. Just monetize my channel, please. It's time to get in business, and I'll show you how you can truly make the case to everyone that you are a true free speech platform, even if you banned my friends. Why did you do this? Lord Bebo reports, war up close, Russian units fighting in a trench against Ukrainian units. Very fascinating to be following this. I mean, these trench wars are grueling for the mind, because it's like one of them is going to end up dead. So basically, war is this constant cycle of, all right, JF, you're the next soldier to reinforcement. And either I'm going to die now, or I'm going to die the next day. But I'm going to die, and then they need some more cannon fodder to send in the to the front. It's like, I was watching this trench war, and I was like, this is a zero-sum game, if there's any, in human life, you know? Because at some point, either you're going to kill the other guy that's just meters away from you, or he's gonna kill you. There can only be one. Oops, Twitter video. Oh, an old bug of Twitter video. Twitter video suddenly stopping when I put it in full screen. That reminds me of the good old days of Jack Dorsey. So I think here that they have a strategic advantage. I think it may be a Russian drone that's flying or a Russian camera positioned up high. I don't know if they're getting debriefing from the guy controlling the camera, but if they do, that would give them a serious advantage. So here, one soldier is here. One was already in the trench. They are penetrating the trench, making sure that they are safe and not heard. It seems that there's some movement here. And this is... See? They are hearing him. They are using sound to say, all right, so the guy that was shooting us, the Ukraine side, is located here. He's continuing to shoot in that direction. But these guys are special operation unit. They're like ready to go fucking up from up close. And see, this guy is in a trench. Thinking, all right, I can shoot from here. I'm safe in my trench. But you don't get what's happening, bro. So you may have seen, they're pretty much spraying bullets here in a very inefficient manner. You saw this guy come out of the hole shooting there. He seems to be seeing the point of entry of the trench, but since those are trenches, it's very hard to attack the other side. Now, these guys, they are on a mission. They just want to keep progressing so that they can initiate combat from close. Now, see, something has been thrown and has fallen approximately here. Let me rewind here. See, he's throwing something that will make it here. Is it a grenade? Boom, grenade. He's trying to spray bullets, but the bullets are not very efficient. I don't know what's the status on these guys. They were just exploded by grenade. And this guy gets tired. He throws his own grenade. And look at the grenade. It will land just right in the hole. Oh no, this one has landed outside, so you can see the explosion here. It's such a passive-aggressive, like, I'm throwing this remote device. Now they're going to try throwing us. See, he's kind of forgotten. He thinks that maybe his grenade has been so effective that it has killed the enemy. He's continuing to shoot in the front direction. But these guys are still there. He just threw a grenade. Now, this grenade here has exploded right here. And look at him. Boom, launches the grenade, and oh, this one is at the right place. Boom! Grenade in the hole. Holy shit. I don't know how much space there was in that hole, but you're blown, my friend. You just got blown in the face. Throws another grenade. Just in case. This grenade seems to have exploded a little more distant from the hole. And now they will start progressing. They're still alive. The grenade hasn't killed them. They're trying to shoot, but boom, grenade. And here there's some kind of rocket launcher. He tried throwing a rocket in, threw the rocket launcher on the side, but meanwhile, his friends are advancing on this side, and they will start getting an angle. Now, this grenade is getting in the hole. Boom. Well, somehow, the explosion was here. I think the video just cut. But yeah, they're throwing out smoke from the hole. Now, he knows that they're getting closer. He's trying to get them at an angle. This guy is examining the left part to make sure there aren't forces coming from this way. And see, this guy is getting an angle while this guy doesn't know that they got to that direction. And so he might very well have an angle at this point to shoot this guy. He shouldn't have revealed his position because now that this guy knows there are bullets coming from here. They are very tight. You need not to be claustrophobic. Now they're getting shot. They're getting shot because they're not paying enough attention in that direction. Now this guy is limping. Getting closer and closer to the hole. Man, it's hard to get an angle. Oh, and the grenade perfectly thrown inside the hole. Oh, this one. This one was a strong throw. Couple of bullets, useless bullets here. Man, it's such a long process. Oh, another grenade. Oh my God. Ultimately, it boils down to who has more grenades. And who's more stuck in a hole? If you can catch your enemy in a position where they are cornered. And this guy is merely using bullets here, not necessarily to shoot the guys, but to kind of secure his advancement. So while he advances, he shoots bullets. Well, we are reaching the end of the video. Some more grenades are thrown. So it seems that those who were advancing have now withdrawn a little bit. And grenade after grenade. Now they totally smoked inside the hole. Look at this. Oh, well, that was a little bit outside. I think that's a repeat of the video that we've seen earlier. And now we get an aerial view of the hole. And it seems that there may be a soldier lying on the floor, lost his leg. Man, that is very harsh. The harsh reality of war. Soldiers laying. Look at this. They make these holes where they can be covered. The art of trench, ladies and gentlemen. The art of using dirt as your armor against bullets. I really hope that I never get to see war. I really don't like war. This is not made for me. I don't like this kind of... this kind of nervousness and where life is in the balance, I really don't like it. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Cointree or Entropy. The links to these platforms are in the description below. People were sharing this with me, records from controversial twin studies sealed at Yale until 2065. It's an old article, but that was recently resurfaced, and people were pointing out that it seems that Yale basically had a study about twins that was revealing maybe too much effect of genes. And they've decided to seal it until 2065. It's like, well, we know that research, that's why research, we shouldn't invest in it publicly. It's because whenever they discover something that is disadvantageous or that would go against the moral grain of the mainstream, they hide it. So self-censorship is a grave issue in scientific research because with just the proper hiding of certain facts, you can reach absolutely wild conclusions that are totally against reality. That's why we should never grant money to researchers. It's just not ready for the search for truth. Colin Maxworth says there's a good Netflix doc about this called Three Identical Strangers. You should watch it, JF. Okay, maybe I'll watch it. I've been trying to watch a couple of movies. The movies suck these days, let me tell you. I'm trying to watch Hellraiser, this kind of movie about torture and horror. And it's like, I always watch 5 minutes and I'm like, this really sucks. And so I've been trying for 3 days now to watch Hellraiser. Couldn't get through any more than 5 minutes. It's just not interesting. There is no future on YouTube. There is no future on YouTube now that people like me have left. They are ramping up the attack against the centrist in preparation for the election. Michael Knowles was saying, I'm banned from YouTube for a week after my second strike. This for not believing in transgenderism. Well, today we've had more details from the side of YouTube on what exactly Michael Knowles has done to violate the rules. Of course, those are rules that I don't know why the Daily Wire people are surprised about this in 2023. Those rules have come a long time ago. People like me left YouTube because we were tired of having to adjust our speech and adjust our thoughts. You know, it's kind of harassment in your brain when they force you to not say certain things, you keep thinking about it. And every time you want to put out a sentence, you think, is that in violation of the rule? You have to be careful with so much words. It's a form of cognitive oppression that YouTube creators are the victim of. That's why people like me left. But the Daily Wire people, they stayed. And they made it an integral part of their business to depend, basically, on YouTube. And this was what Steven Crowder had been lifting as an accusation against them. He was telling them, hey, if you have it in your contract that I'm valued less as as one of your guys if I get banned from YouTube, that's another way to give power to YouTube. So what will YouTube do? They will let the Daily Wire build. And then when it truly matters at the political level and when they get this dark money kick, like, please get the Daily Wire out, they're going to go harsh on them. So you think you're building a YouTube channel? You're not. You are just delaying your building of your own independent platforms because there is no place for conservative right-wing thought on YouTube, simply. It is bound to become a circle jerk. It is bound to become a bread tubing enterprise. Now, we get to know the response from YouTube. So what were the offenses of Michael Knowles? I described the notion that men can be women as delusional. According to YouTube, this opinion, which has been held by virtually every person who has ever lived, implies that some groups are mentally inferior and thus constitutes hate speech. So having an opinion on the biological nature of sex being unchangeable is hate speech for YouTube. Nothing new there. I discussed how one might hypothetically respond to a loved one who has fallen under the sway of transgender ideology. YouTube claims that the suggestion that this hypothetical loved one might have some psychological problems constitutes hate speech. Well, there's always been this double meaning to the whole trans thing. Is it gender dysphoria or is it an identity? And can it be both or does it have to be one or the other? Well, both matters. Identity is a subjective thing that ultimately you can identify as anything you want. So it has no connection to the real world. It is purely self-perception that we mean when we talk about identity. But the problem is that psychiatry on its own is also an arbitrary system of classification. There is no objective value that differentiates sickness from a mental perspective from proper functioning. In other words, there is a fact. Well, if you have gender dysphoria, there is a fact about your brain that differentiates from someone like me who doesn't have gender dysphoria. So there are facts in the world that truly are corresponding to the diagnosis of gender dysphoria. But the idea that gender dysphoria is the dysfunction, that's a human view. You need a subjective appreciation of what is health and what is a disorder to define the very sense of medicine. You know, you could say, well, JF, isn't it the case that if you cut your arm, if you lose your arm, that's an injury, right? Well, who are you to say this? There's no objective fact of the world by which not having an arm is a bad way to be a human, you know? You have to have a preference for arm having. You have to be an ableist to have a definition, a subjective appreciation that having an arm is important and you value it, and therefore you want medicine to keep people's arm onto their shoulder and try to save them if they have been injured. That is, there is the same applies to psychiatry, and especially in psychiatry, since in psychiatry, all states of the brain and all states of the human psychology eventually fall under some label. So basically, psychiatry is, you will end up in a psychiatric category no matter who you are and what you are. Because there are so many criteria, you're going to meet one of these criteria. And ultimately, psychiatry is a system of classification of cognitive diversity in humans. It is interpreted as a kind of system of value, but you don't have to adhere to that system of value. You don't have to think that autism is a disorder. You don't, if you may just be part of a, you may see it as being part of a form of cognitive diversity, and you may even see autism as coming with some advantages. So all this to say, if you were to talk about someone suffering from gender dysphoria, now YouTube says that is hate speech because it assumes that there are psychological problems. If they were to apply this rule fairly across all categories, let me tell you, there would be a bunch of leftists definitely banned from YouTube. Because a lot of leftists are psychopathologizing men, toxic masculinity, toxic whiteness, white tears. Those are all attacks that are suggestive of some psychological problems. There are people who spread the false lie, for example, that white people are more likely to be mass shooters, when in fact, if anything, they're just more likely to be more successful at shooting many people. But there are much more actually non-white black shooters or shooters of other races in America than there are in the white race. So it seems that the pathologization issue that YouTube is taking here is strictly to defend the LGBT community, but they wouldn't do it for other groups. Of course, the belief that one is of the opposite sex is itself a mental illness involving a defect of perception, but transgender identity also correlates with a whole host of other mental disorders such as anxiety, anorexia, depression, and suicidality, among others. All right, so now we, of course, YouTube, by banning such discussions, is keeping us from engaging on important subjects of correlates and comorbidity of different disorders. Dickie Spershenstein says, Jeff, I was listening to you on Richard Spencer's Zoom call. You're like a regular now. Great guest. Well, thank you. I will be publishing the link to this Richard Spencer discussion once I have it. He referred to Dylan Mulvaney as a man, as he. This proper use of the English language, Michael Knowles says, which YouTube calls misgendering, apparently constitutes hate speech under the new rules. Well, those are not new rules, Michael. Those are actually very old rules. And finally, in the strangest complaint I received, YouTube claimed that my description of Eliphaz Levi's Baphomet constituted hate speech because I pointed out that the French occultist depiction of a demon is androgynous. Okay, so talking about the demon being a male and being depicted in some text as a male, combined with illustrations of LGBT males, or I don't know if that person was a male, but there may have been males on the camera at the moment he said this, would be a reference, would be, YouTube interpreted it perhaps as Michael Knowles calling LGBT activism devilish. The opinion for which YouTube banned me this week is not only true, but also commonly held. It's the view of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. It's the view of philosophers and biologists. And today, if you state that view on YouTube, you could be banned for hate speech. Here, I think that Michael Knowles is having a misinterpretation. I don't think that YouTube is saying, if you call the devil a man, it's hate speech. I think they're saying, if you call the devil a man and put it in front of LGBT images, it's like calling the LGBT guy a demon. But anyways, it doesn't matter. The fact is, those are way too invasive interventions on freedom of speech, and YouTube is not a functional platform to have a public discussion. Way too many limits. People cannot create in this environment. It's too much intimidation. So I say to all creators, leave YouTube, join Twitter video. That is our future. Demus, someone was talking about Demus earlier. Demus will be removed from the App Store in 14 days. Apple says that Zaps are not allowed on their platform because they could be used by content creators to sell digital content. This is right before we're about to give our talk at the Oslo Freedom Forum on how decentralized social media, blah, blah, blah. Man, we're going to have to develop an alternative to these app stores. And people keep telling me that there are already alternative app stores. But it's like we have to just crush the monopoly. We have to make these alternative app stores the places where everyone is headed. Because we can't have free market under an entity that is basically worse than the state. It's an entity that's like the state, but they want to collect on everything. And they actively fight so that you don't have a parallel way to support creators. Doubting Thomas says, JF, I noticed specific scientific disciplines act like an ant colony / hive mind, best seen in large conferences. Looking at one research group may seem that they are unique, but you see all presentations are just minor variations of one another, and attending talks reinforce conformity. Absolutely. You just described every single field of academia, basically. And that's why I was not interested in pursuing an academic career. It's like too conformism. There's not even a place where people can appreciate a true progress in thought. And so that is just not the place where a brain like mine can appreciate performing. Blanket says, JF, did you see the video of the previous CEO of YouTube saying the only host from the Daily Wire who will be safe is Shapiro? JF, a couple of popular alternative app stores for Android are Aptoid and Up2Down App Store, and Elon's platform is on both of them. Ah, and does that mean that Elon put it there? Or can someone put it there without the permission of Elon? But that's interesting. I would like to set my Android phone on alternative platforms. That would be a great thing to do. As far as Shapiro being safe on YouTube, yes, it's a big problem, because it's always this cartel, this crushing of the small guys, and it's always what the left does. And there's always these creepy personalities on the right who are willing to shut up because they think they're going to be graced by Susan. I mean, I know it's not Susan anymore, but graced by whoever is the CEO of YouTube. And it sucks. It sucks to see a lack of solidarity, a lack of kind of a unification of the right that would say we need to develop alternative platforms and alternative platforms only. And by alternative platform, I don't mean like going on Gab and being just on Gab, but I mean we need to always be leveraging our power against the platforms that censor. And if Twitter is less censorious this week, We need to make all the other platforms afraid that Twitter is going to win. And if YouTube is censorious this week, we need to make YouTube afraid that they're going to lose it. Ali Mayer sends a super chat. He says, JF, I thought this was hilarious. It documents the absurdity of it all. Shank assumed Benny was sexually attracted to men, being a trans woman and all. Shank forgot that Benny is a trans woman and a lesbian, aka a dude who likes chicks. You guys can watch it later. Okay, let me check this.
There's a lot of controversy about this tweet from the Daily Lab. Hooters is shutting down and rebranding after a new study shows that millennials aren't that into boobs. This tweet sparked a lot of responses of people saying, well, I don't go to Hooters because their wings are terribly overpriced. I don't support the objectification of women. The food quality is just bad. I don't want to go and be in the company of very weak incel men. But then Hooters cleared things up and they said, you know what? Actually, we are not going out of business. Their words precisely were, this is the fakest news that has ever newsed. And that is from Hootie the Owl, this whole Hooters controversy.
Okay, so I'm from the old school, and I remember when
You can see that creepy Uncle Chank is coming with his dirty paws into the pond. And there's a modern hipster woman on the right. There's a transsexual woman on the left. And Chank is already with his caveat. Holy shit. I'm from the old school.
Hooters used to pretend that it wasn't about the boobs. So you guys might not even remember that, but they would gaslight all of us and be like, what? What do you mean? It's about the wings. No, Hooters was a Hootie the Owl. What did you think it meant?
Right? Hey, Chank, you have a multi-million-dollar company? I got better audio than you, bro. What the fuck are you doing, Chank? You sound like you're on the phone. What the fuck is this?
Right? No, of course. Of course we see the outfits.
Of course. Your of course doesn't sound right, Chank. It sounds like you're yelling it into a can of soup.
We see the outfits. Okay, so, but finally, this is like WWF back in the old days. Finally going, okay, fine. Wrestling's fake. We're going to WWE. Okay, so.
I don't hear half of your words. You ugly, fat, terrible person. I can't hear half of what you say.
I just want to get that out of the way, get it out of my system. Okay. Now, I don't have a problem with Hooters. I've been to Hooters. I've enjoyed Hooters and I like wings. Okay. So now having said that, I thought the right wing was up in arms over sexually explicit stuff and exposing kids to it. I mean, I'm sure the kids are not allowed.
No, we are absolutely for heteronormativity, and nothing sets the tone for heteronormativity better than a big pair of boobs that confirm the full femalehood of someone.
A lot of Hooters, right? Oh, they are? Oh, my God. I'm sure the right wing is just apoplectic.
We don't care. We don't care about sexually explicit occasions as long as they're consented to and as long as they favor heteronormativity. That is a culture of appreciation for heterosexual families.
So weird that Elon Musk, the right winger, seems to be supporting the sexually explicit material that kids are exposed to every day. Huh. Bet it looks like maybe they were just saying that stuff to target LGBTQ folks.
It's not even to target LGBTQ folks. We are just very, very interested in continuing heterosexual families because they are the only families that can produce babies.
And never meant a word of it.
Yeah. And this is so funny.
Is it where the creepy Chank comment comes? I'm feeling it, boys. I'm feeling it.
If millennials didn't like boobs so much, why would I take hormones every day to grow them myself? Okay, explain this. Okay. It's so hilarious. But like, look, okay, as you know, the communist millennial, I do have to chip in and say like, yeah, there's issues with Hooters with misogyny among the management, and there's issue with misogyny among the people that go there, right? Which is why I think like all the Hooters employees should unionize, right? And establish like strict guidelines and rules.
Whoa, Chank. Careful. Did you just say the union word in front of Chank? Because last time the union subject came for Chank, Chank made a video in which he was crying and he was saying, guys, please don't unionize. Please, like, we're a good leftist company and we can't afford a union. You guys remember?
For allowing them to kick out patrons whenever they cross the line or go too far, harass them, et cetera, et cetera. And so that, I guess, is like the issue with Hooters isn't necessarily the idea of going to a restaurant where the whole purpose is to have people that are a little bit more risque in their clothing. The issue is the imbalance of power between the workers and the management and the way that customer service workers are across the board.
I went to Hooters. I had zero power. And I'm pretty sure that the Hooter woman that served my burger made more money than I will ever do in her year.
Or treated in the United States of America. But the good news is that millennials do actually still love boobs.
Yes, it's true. It's true. And Hooters, you know, they said this on Twitter. I think it's real that they're not closing down. They said,
what is this video quality? You guys are on Skype on a 14K baud modem. What is happening? This is TYT. Are they still closed up because of COVID?
Said to the Associated Press, you know, there's no, you know, validity to the reports of rebranding. The spokesperson said that
he LGBTQ community, right? That's the only time that he has reached conclusion is for procreation in his entire life. Come on. If that's true, I feel super sad for him. That's like the saddest thing I've ever.
Oh, yes. Of course, Cenk is taking issue with Elon Musk's pro-natalist positioning. Because how many babies does Cenk have? Zero. This man stood by the side of Anna Kasparian for years. Couldn't align his dick for 30 seconds properly. Unbelievable. And that's all she would have wanted when Cenk was a young, promising host. He missed his chance, and so now he's taking it onto a more successfully reproductive agent, Elon Musk, the baby pumper.
Never heard in my life. Okay, but all right, have at it, Oz, but I don't believe you. I mean, he's a giant liar. Like almost everybody in the right wing is liars. Oh, we're so worried about the children.
No, Hassan Piker is not the son of Cenk. He's the... He's the nephew.
Oh, boobs! Give me more boobs and Hooters! Come on, who are you kidding? All you rednecks out there.
Cenk, you are one of these rednecks. You're playing a role because you think that the business is headed toward more leftist talking points. But you've been making all of these creepy sexual comments across the years. You're not going to make me believe that somehow at 44 years old, it's like, oh, all of these thoughts about females and boobs that you've been sharing again and again publicly, suddenly they disappeared. And what about this whole pro-horse sex argument that you've done? That's still inside of you, you fucking creep.
Were you offended by the use of the word redneck? Okay, you know you love going to Hooters. You know you bring your kids to Hooters. You know you don't mind any of it. You just love the idea of hating.
It's heterosexual normalization. We need more and more of it in today's world.
Someone that isn't you. Just keep it real. Now, having said that, let's get to a more controversial part of the conversation, because the right wing being giant hypocrites are most obvious thing in the world. I have no problem with going to a Hooters, but you guys are more left wing than I am. So Ben, would you not go to a Hooters based on the things that you were mentioning, like the misogyny, et cetera, and the imbalance of power?
I mean, I personally wouldn't, just because like it's not really like my kind of like environment, I guess. But I'm the type of person that I would never really go to a strip club either. So that's just not my style. I'm very like, I'm a Midwestern gal, okay, with Midwestern sensibilities, okay?
What does that mean? What does that mean at this point?
So that's kind of where I'm at. But like, it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. Like, if Hooters was a co-op, or if like they were unionized and they had like strong protections and rules in place that were put there, you know, by the workers, yeah, there wouldn't be an issue with it.
Sexual exploitation is okay as long as it's done for the workers. Now, what if there are male workers in this industry that co-opt? Are you going to start saying that the male workers are exploiting the female workers? Or are you going to ask the male workers to go equally fantastical in their clothing choices?
Problem is that you know, the people that go to Hooters, right, that a significant percentage of them end up being the same type of people that scream at, you know, like customer service representatives. And those people also end up sexually harassing a lot of the wait staff at places like Hooters. And so that's the problem. The problem in our society is misogyny, right? It's not that people are serving food in a scantily clad, you know, sort of like outfit. The issue really is just the misogyny of it all.
Yeah, but Ben, look, let's be fair then, because you're not really interested in what Hooters is serving.
Did you just assume Ben's sexual orientation? Now, let us recapitulate, because this is complex. This was a man who has changed into a woman appearance. Here we have a real woman. Here we have a real man. And so this person, would they go to Hooters? Well, my prediction based on biology is they would go to Hooters. They would like the big boobs, because all people who are born with some degree of testosterone eventually in their development will like big boobs.
Or strip club.
Let's see if my prediction or Chang's prediction is correct. Chang says, well, you're a real woman, so you like real men, don't you?
In general. But like Chippendales, you wouldn't go to Chippendales? Is that also a problem or no?
No, it's the environment, right? Like, I mean, I'm a lesbian, right? Like, I'm all about the ladies. It's just it's just the type of environment. But like, I'm not a big person with like crowds and stuff like that, or like, you know, as for other people, it's not for me, right? To steal, you know, a quote from Ben Mankiewicz.
Yeah, okay, you're right, and I forgot that you were a lesbian. That's true.
I forgot that you were a lesbian. That's true. All right. Well, okay. Thanks for this clip. It's a 5-month-old clip. I mean, it's good sometimes to catch up with TYT, but it's going down and down in terms of relevance of the commentary. And at this point, they're really hanging out on Skype calls that are cheap in audio. I mean, I was getting better audio from my guests back in the TPS days, 2017, 2018. And these guys can't get better audio in 2023 than this. Look, Cenk. Behringer. Behringer Sonic Exciter. WA73 channel British microphone preamp. Behringer Composer Pro XL. It's as easy as this. You just need good voice processing. And then you can put it on Zoom, and Zoom is going to transmit high quality if you're on a good connection. What are these guys talking on? This is Skype calls with microphones that have been bought at Best Buy. This is Blue Yeti kind of crap. Adam says things, says half of the planet needs to be protected from the other half, and these fucking brats all want to chop their nuts because life is easier for them. Adam, I will delete your chat here. Blanket says, Jeff, Elon's platform has been on Aptoid and Up2Down App Store for years. I think Jack put the platform on them because he realized not everyone uses Apple or Google. Well, we definitely want to favor these alternative app stores. All right, let's talk about the Trump indictment. White House slams we're not talking about the Trump indictment. I have another news before we get there. The White House has been slamming the trans that has been showing their boobs, you know, their trans boobs. That is, it was a male who became a trans woman, had fake boobs installed or grown. I don't know exactly how it works. And when there was this LGBT celebration at the White House, they they pose topless to the camera in front of the White House. And now we are at the conflict between, well, the Democrat Party is always pro-LGBT, but at the same time, the normies out there are starting to be annoyed by all this, these sexual displays, and the White House has to maintain some kind of decorum. So amazingly, the White House went after the LGBT topless trans woman. President Biden's administration, after praising them as the bravest and most inspiring people he had ever known, has been forced to condemn the toplessness. This behavior is inappropriate and disrespectful for any event at the White House. It is not reflective of the event we hosted to celebrate LGBTQI plus families or the other hundreds of guests who were in attendance. Individuals in the video will not be invited to future events. Trans activist Rose Montoya, the one with the hands, offered a comment, "I had zero intention of trying to be vulgar or be profane in any way. I was simply living my joy and my truth and existing in my body." So the person involved in this whole scandal, this trans person, has published a TikTok response.
"It has recently come to my attention that conservatives are trying to use the video of me topless at the White House to try to call the community groomers, etc."
Well, you are advertising a way of life that may drag people into this way of life, right? You're showing your boobs, potentially a young teenager who's doubting stuff about himself, who may think, oh, well, I'm excited at the idea of touching boobs, but I'm socially awkward. I don't know that I have the courage of getting a girlfriend. Maybe if I install those boobs on myself, I can enjoy the autogynephilia. And Aquanote says, bee sting lip injections. Yes, it is one thing that I notice in this whole physical transition thing that they do. They go way over the top with the lips. I mean, at this point, it's ridiculous. There is a part of the lips of this person that is totally crocheted, basically.
"And I would just like to say that, first of all, going topless in Washington, D.C. is legal. And..."
Well, it's not because something is legal that it's in line with the decorum, you know? Lots of things are legal. Like, I could go on the streets and start yelling at people, use my free speech to say, "God will punish you, you sinners!" And it would be, in certain circumstances, it would be kind of annoying.
"I fully support the movement in freeing the nipple, because why is my chest now deemed inappropriate or illegal when I show it off? However, before coming out as trans, it was not."
Because the boobs of the male are not a factor of sexual selection. They are not a factor involved in the reproduction capacities of the male. But because the boobs of the female are useful in the production of babies, they have become centers of sexual attraction for males. And therefore, because of their effect, it's not because of what the boobs are so much, but it's because of their effect on the visual system of males and the sexual attractiveness of male that they have become an object of sexual desires. Now, your boobs won't probably contribute to your biological children, but that is the case of most boobs of females.
"All you're doing is affirming that I am a woman. All you're doing is saying that trans women are women."
Well, it's not really what people are doing. What they are saying is that the boobs that you are carrying on your chest are designed to imitate the female biological form. And as such, they have the social value and the attractability value, potentially, but from the perspective of the eye of the beholder, the eye of the man looking at them, they have potentially the sexual significance to them.
"Because for some reason, people like to sexualize women's bodies.
For some reason, yes. The reason being that the entirety of our existence relies on continued heterosexuality, and that we are all machines to produce babies as a consequence of the theory of natural selection.
And say that they are inappropriate. My trans masculine friends were showing off their top surgery scars and living in joy, and I wanted to join them. And because it is perfectly within the...
See, not everything is about your internal state of mind. It's not just about how you feel about yourself. In society, normally, normal people consider the impact of what they do onto others. There's a million things I would love to do in public. I don't do them. You know, when I'm alone, I do prime number research. I scramble on my book. But when I go to take a coffee at the coffee shop, I don't want to annoy people with my little pet peeve for prime number research. And I am conscious that if I display this crazy behavior of being obsessed with a notepad and continuing thousands of lines and lines of mathematical demonstration, I'll be annoying to people. I'll be engaged in a display. It will put me in a situation where I'm trying to display socially that I like prime numbers. And so because of the social situation, I understand that even if I have it in my heart to pursue this quest, I don't want to impose it on someone else. I don't want to make it as an act of communication. And therefore, I don't bring my notepad of mathematics to the coffee shop. Now, there are people who just specialize in this. There are people who go to the coffee shop just for this, just for the display. And so stop thinking of the world in terms of my body and what I feel. No one gives a shit about your feeling. Society operates on a set of decorum, rules, and arbitrary social requirements, many of which I disagree with, but I will still act by because I don't want to alarm people. I don't want to impose. Have you considered that seeing boobs may be something that people have the right to consent to or not consent to? Have you considered that there may be a person who doesn't want to see boobs? And that they should be respected in their desire for a certain situation to be non-sexual in nature. This is what every normal person has to go through. I can't display my dick everywhere, even if I feel like it.
Law.
I don't feel like it, but if I...
In Washington, D.C., I decided to join them and cover my nipples just to play it safe. Because I wanted to be fully free and myself... I had zero intention of trying to be vulgar or be profane in any way. I was simply living in joy, living my truth, and existing in my body. Happy Pride. Free the nipple.
All right. Well, that's all I had to say. There's going to be a time in the future at which the social expectations that we impose on everyone who's normal will be equally imposed on people of the LGBT community. And there will be a time at which you will not benefit from this eternal victim status. Let us remind ourselves that the boobs of Janet Jackson has been subject of a scandal not so long ago in U.S. history. And so it's not about this person being trans. It's about the fact that you are making these sexual displays, you are disinhibited, you are acting against the decorum, and I think you know that's what you're doing. All right, we need to talk about the Trump arrest. Biden admin arrest Donald Trump, who pleads not guilty to 37 charges. The Biden administration officially arrested former President Donald Trump on Tuesday for allegedly mishandling classified documents. I had a discussion today with Richard Spencer for his show, for his Substack show, and we talked about the consequences of this, and they're kind of major when you think about it, because the indictment, this is an indictment that contains some degree of Trump displaying carelessness in the way he suggested, he suggested a careless approach toward confidential top secret documents. And because of this, there will always be a grain of possibility that this, if it gets to a jury that wants to find Trump guilty, it can happen and it can be supported legally because of these testimonies by a journalist who says, hey, he was bragging about these documents and he knew they were classified because he said they were classified. And then there's the other interaction where Trump also indicates clearly in another way that he is very much aware that those are confidential documents and in fact suggests to his own lawyer that perhaps it's better if the documents were to go away. Perhaps we don't have them, you know. Magician Trump here ready to make some documents disappear. So these things, they are responsive to mens rea requirements. They are responsive to a prima facie analysis of what this case stands on. And if it wasn't of these things, perhaps that could be kicked on the side very early in the process. But because of these things, those are sufficient allegations to maintain the case up to a jury, unfortunately. But then the consequences of this for America are as follows. The timing of this seems to be all set up to make sure that Trump will either be in the trial during his election campaign, to either in the primary to become the presidential candidate for Republicans, or even in the very election campaign to beat Biden as a presidential candidate. So this means potentially Trump in jail. Trump in jail for some amount of time, and Trump being martyrized, basically. And it even means, given the Trump domination in the surveys, it means potentially a Trump that would win from jail. That is what we have to prepare for. Now, it's a wild idea, but I don't see anything right now that suggests this is not within the space of the possible. In fact, it seems that all converges toward this. Now, there are some possibilities on the side that would change the situation. Perhaps you're going to get jury nullification. Perhaps because we are in Florida, this is not going to be a jury of bureaucrats from Washington who benefit from the state largesses. It's going to be a bunch of Floridians, and there will be diversity in this jury. There will be a bunch of boomers. There will be a bunch of perhaps slightly younger. There will be black. There will be white. And in all likelihood, in any statistical likelihood, there will be Trump supporters in this jury. So what we might very well have is a jury that says, all right, you know, maybe he said those things, but we're not going to put a president in jail, especially since Trump will probably bring lots of defenses. He will be like, hey, we kept telling them, come get your documents. We never wanted these documents. And it's very highly probable that Trump didn't get his hands dirty with the carrying of the boxes, given all of the staff he benefits from. So if the state wants to really make a case that Trump has been personally involved in those crimes, all it will rely on is the fact that he knew the boxes were there and he kind of ordered some staff to get them there. And it's possible also that all of the statements he said to his lawyer will be canceled from the trial because they are violating client-attorney privilege. But it's very possible that the prosecution put it in there to influence the public view. And they know that it's legally not valid, that it's going to get kicked out, but they wanted to influence the public view to begin with. So Alimer sends a super chat. He says, JF, I also wanted to give my final thoughts on the Philosophicat situation as I was unable to attend live when you were talking about it. Worse, in my opinion, than the petty, passive-aggressive subtweeting was then lying about it and pretending like she wasn't talking about you. Yeah, I mean, you are totally well-grounded to reach those conclusions. Now, as a man of the public space, I have to give the benefit of the doubt. She says it wasn't about me. I mean, we still don't know who it was about. You woke up this morning and you happen to have a vision of men saying these things. When in fact, as far as I know, I mean, I would need some references that indicate that that there are many other people who thought like this. Because as far as I know, in our circles, and particularly in the people that Philosophy Cat is following on Twitter, I may be the only one who has expressed these two opinions in these two time frame, two time windows. So thank you for your comment. Very appreciated. Going back to Trump, so we may have a situation because Trump is dominating too much in the Republican race. And it's going to be hard for anyone, even in a Trump in legal problems, it's going to be hard for anyone to take over him. And the big case for Trump, for a Trump comeback to the American people, the problem is that the big case is for reparation toward Trump. That will be the theme of his campaign, either explicitly or implicitly. So in my view, these prosecutions, in the end, they might actually warm the American people into the perception that Trump is a victim. We need to basically cancel this cancel culture system by voting Trump into the White House again. We need to show the institutional legal system that harassment, we will not accept harassment. And if you harass our boy, we're going to send our boy back to the White House. This may very well be how it turns, and it could be very dramatic if all of this happens while Trump is in jail. And then what happens? I mean, does he get released by the judge because the judge says, well, I'm going to give you conditional release because you're in an exceptional situation. You need to get to the presidency. Or is it the case that He gets elected and then he pardons himself? All of these are possibilities. I find this super exciting. But I don't see a possibility in which DeSantis or Chris Christie or any of these alternatives rise above him. So the Trump candidacy is almost a certainty. And then, if he's in jail or if this prosecution gets to be very heavy and very harassing of him, and if the American people says, look, this guy has been the victim of so much injustice, we need to give him the power to self-pardon. It's the only path forward. You may very well have a landslide of Trump if it reaches those proportions. Now, there is a lot of things that can happen along the way that perhaps the Democrats will start understanding that this is where they're headed for, and they will decide, let's go easy on him. But the system is totally going after Trump, is going in an asymmetric manner toward him. They haven't pursued much graver crimes committed by the other side. They haven't gone after Hillary. They haven't gone after Hunter and Joe Biden. So I find this to be prosecutorial harassment, even if General Bill Barr, Attorney General Bill Barr, goes on Fox News and makes the case that, oh yeah, I've always defended Trump in the past, but this particular case is really a case where he fucked up. That is the point, the talking point of General Bill Barr. I disagree. I call him general. It's attorney general. I disagree because I've seen worse being committed by the other side and not being sued. So definitely we are still in a case of persecution through the legal system for harassment and for putting Trump down. So Bill Barr here is being a dirty little snitch who betrays Trump at the end like this, but he's been like this for a couple of months, so I'm not particularly surprised by his behavior here. Generally, historically, what we see is that Trump resists and Trump prevails. And so no matter how that happens, whether it's from the jail or outside of the jail, Trump will find a way to market this into the biggest story of political persecution. And you have to give it to him. He may very well be right. Len.GunTram says, Barr is a deep state operator. We know this because he knew right from the beginning everything about the Biden grift and never said a word. He was questioned on this on Fox News, but I think he drifted out of his response. CNN says, fact check, debunking Trump's blizzards of dishonesty about his federal indictment. They're doing a lot of technical fact check, like, oh, Trump claims that there were no violations of NARA, but, and then they say, the documents belong to the federal government, and all those other cases where documents were located in presidential homes were all cases where the archivist of the National Archives had been setting up a specialized location that was under his care and under his monitoring where these documents could be kept. So basically, they are acknowledging in their fact check that other presidents have brought these documents to home, but with the permission of the National Archives. So again, we are down to a technicality here. You're telling me that the difference between George Bush and Donald Trump and Bill Clinton and Donald Trump is that they were getting permissions from the machine, but Trump wasn't getting them. And we're still into the world of injustices and a differential treatment of Trump because he is against the system. Laura Loomer, breaking, President Trump just left the courthouse in Miami. As he was leaving in his motorcade, a lunatic dressed in a jail suit jumped in front of the motorcade, and he was quickly kicked out by the Secret Service.
Secret Service just tackled him. He ran right in front of Trump's car, and Secret Service just came and pummeled him to the floor.
That was some guy with, I don't know, was he an anti-Trump or pro-Trump protester? He just ran to the motorcade, and the Secret Service got him out. The collapse just won't stop. 10 weeks later, Tranhuser Bush sales still cratering down 27%. According to Citi analyst Simon Hales, Bud Light volume declines accelerated last week to -29.9% versus -26.1% in the week ending 27th of May, and sales worsened to -27% from -23%. So amazingly, we are not at the end of it. It keeps getting worse. And we are entering the summer. This is the moment for beer companies to be selling their beers to the barbecue goers, to the football fans. And holy shit, has Bud Light messed up. Here we have video of this this protester who runs to the motorcade of Trump as he exits the courthouse.
Armed officers.
Look at this. In a jail suit, and he had a sign that he wanted. It was probably, I'm guessing that this sign must have said something like, come and join me in the jail. I'm a jail guy. Look, I'm dressed up like the jail. So it's like, you are due for jail, Trump, kind of protesting.
Some of these vehicles, the people rushing towards one, one of the vehicles, it may have slowed down given the way. A chaotic scene.
Insanity, so many agents, such a spectacle. that they have to pull. You know, how much millions of dollars are invested in just the security around these things? You know, people were saying to me, Jeff, they say there is footage of the two green extraterrestrials who have landed in Las Vegas. And we had the footage, I believe, a couple of days ago. We saw a flash from the sky kind of coming down toward the earth. And then there were people who were reporting to the police. There were two green individuals in our backyard. Well, now we have the video. And again, all these freaking extraterrestrial video, we don't get to see anything. It's most likely a visual optic illusion of some sort. It's crap. There it is. So they say that there is an extraterrestrial hiding behind the forklift, and one that would be kind of the ball that you see here, that would be perhaps inside the forklift machine. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, for the truth. So it would be this little ball here. So that's all we have. That is, I tried adding music to give it the most credibility possible. I'm not super impressed. The truth is out there. The truth is out there. I agree. I've not been convinced that we have seen the truth here, Scully. I think that the truth is out there. Michael Montfort has sent a $10 super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for the support. He says, JF, I enjoyed the Philosophicat content. She obviously was referring to you in her tweet. She then tried to weasel out of it and say she wasn't talking to you. She should have just argued her point, which wasn't so outlandish anyway. But by avoiding the debate, she basically proved your point. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any shame that she could have been talking about me. Like, if she comes out and says, yeah, JF, I was talking about you. Okay, you can disagree. You know, how many arguments have I been into across all those years? I've been speaking every day on the public space for now 8 years. It's been 8 years that I've been speaking every day on the public space. I've gone into fights. I've gone into arguments. I don't care. You can make any arguments against me. I will not ever take offense to them. But I'll make a show about them, and I'll answer my views. But with Philosophicat, we could never even get an engagement on the point. It was all at the interpersonal and, oh, I didn't mean to hurt you kind of level. And it's like, you're not going to hurt me, Philosophicat. I'm unhurtable by public intervention, basically. Karine Jean-Pierre's mega MAGA Republicans remarks violated the Hatch Act, says Watchdog. Of course, we always see these people defending the White House and the president, these press secretary. But what we often forget is the Hatch Act is technically keeping them from engaging in the political process. That is, they can't speak in an electoral manner. They cannot speak in a manner against the other party or for their party. They are truly servants of the public. And they have decided that when she said that there were mega MAGA people into acting as officials within the administration. There were violations of the Ash Act. There were partisan statements. I don't know what it means. Is she going to get a punishment of any kind? I have no idea. And finally, as a last news item before we close, Home Depot CEO warns that organized theft tsunami is a big problem. It's been a couple of times that he's been coming out with this. It's a big problem for retail, and it goes across retail. This isn't the random shoplifter anymore. We hate doing it, but I've had to lock up a lot of high-value items, and they're not all big like power tools and generators. Some are as small as circuit breakers. So we're faced more and more with organized crime because there are places that don't prosecute crime anymore. So there are places that if you open business there, there's going to be coordinated groups that will set up time, schedule. They will coordinate across social media, and it's going to be a big swarm coming for everything you have. It's unviable. I recommend to all corporations in those areas to close. There is simply no hope for you. You're going to keep losing material, and we, the honest users and customers of these places, are going to end up paying the bill of your insurance policy. It's not worth it. Barnaby Buto says, won't the looters just intimidate the workers until they unlock the products? I mean, we may very well reach that point, but I guess that the workers just have to say, I don't have the keys. DK Shadow says, I've experienced one of these flash mobs. Really? That sucks. That must be unsettling because they can get against you if they decide, hey, this guy might have a wallet. This guy might have cash on him. You're going to become the target. It must be very scary. I'm sorry you had to experience this. I've never experienced, except on social media through video, I've never myself seen any of these mass looting events. Adam says, you work in a hardware store, just carry... no, that is, I'm going to ban you, Adam says thing, the next time you come up with these, genius chats. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a good night, and I think I'm done with the scheduled stuff. I had a lot of stuff on schedule. So yes, next thing on the schedule is Friday, we have our Patreon hangout. So if you want to join the private hangout after the regular show, around 9 p.m. Eastern Time, join the Patreon, the Subscribestar, or the Backed By at the $20 level. You're going to get the private link. Bye-bye. ¶¶